Conversations with Maria Menounos, podcast edition, inspiration.
Is there anything she can't handle? She looks fear in the face day after day, but yet she never runs. She's unbreakable. She's a warrior. She's you.
Growth.
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Community.
These things happen because you have to live your true self in a bigger way.
Featuring the best of Maria Menounos' SiriusXM show with celebrity and life-changing interviews, thoughts on the week, and more. And it's free. All we ask is that you rate, comment, and subscribe on iTunes and tell a friend to subscribe to SiriusXM. Listen to Conversations with Maria Menounos on SiriusXM Stars 109 at 1 p.m. East. And now here's your host, Maria Menounos.
Happy Friday! Got a little song for you guys to start the show off. Kevin's butt's in my face. He's twerking in the studio. Honey, you are the greatest twerker I've ever seen. You really shouldn't show those moves out in public. People might want to steal you from me. Little ice baby.
It's called the podcast dance.
It's the podcast dance.
It's the Friday Conversations podcast, bitches.
Oh my God, please, can I film you right now? Oh my God, honey. Your dance is amazing. Okay, so I'm totally filming you and I'll put you on my Instagram account. They can't hear Ice Baby.
Why do I have to be on the Instagram account? No, you have to save it or no one's going to pay to see it.
Oh my God, I'm fine.
Don't let that out there.
Guys.
People won't pay to see me.
One of the interviews you guys are going to hear today that I'm super excited about. We did it actually a while back and we really have wanted to find a moment where we could fit it into the podcast. And I'm just so excited.
I can't believe the things Farrah Abraham said to you.
What?
What? It's not the Farrah Abraham interview?
No, honey. It's not the Farrah Abraham interview.
Oh, sorry. Okay. Corey, it's Corey Haim.
No, honey.
I will say
honey,
with Corey,
Corey
I don't think, Corey Feldman, I don't think he was stabbed,
honey.
To be honest, but somebody is after him. There's a wolf pack.
A wolf pack, yes.
Ashley, Josh, you guys have heard about the wolf pack that's after Corey Feldman, right?
Yes, of course.
Yes, I heard about it.
Yeah. It's serious, Maria. It's serious. And we get into it in the interview that people are going to hear today, no?
No, that's not what I'm talking about. Stop hijacking my beautiful podcast for your insanity. Actually, the reason we were playing Ice Baby, because I was super clever and I came up with a great idea. Wim Hof is on the show today.
Wow. Corey Haim, Wim Hof, and Farrah Abraham.
No, honey.
Corey Feldman.
It's Wim Hof and Julian Lennon. And I'm going to start with Wim Hof.
Okay.
Because I'm so excited. He is such an important guy, and I can't wait for you guys to listen to this interview because you really learn the power of the mind and the body through him. But as I'm looking on Instagram, killing time before the show started, he pops up on my feed, and there's this great quote in here. Moving toward change is important. Once you begin to work toward it, your purpose will become evident no matter what it may be. Becoming successful is the result of finding your true purpose. It all depends on the path you choose and the decisions you make. Remember, I always say, make good choices. You will find your purpose eventually. Until then, your heart is your guide. I love that.
Yeah, I think that is amazing, actually.
Right?
I will cop to that, yeah.
I think that's amazing.
And I think Farrah should be able to make sex tapes and be on Teen Mom. You understand that that's why she got fired, because she wants to continue to
why
make her
I
sex
have
tapes.
You co-host with me?
No, but this is about, wait a second, this is about female empowerment. Why should she not be allowed to make sex tapes to make money?
Honey,
to support her child.
I'm not giving you any opinion, period, because she's not on the show.
All right, moving on. Corey Feldman.
Honey, we're not talking about Corey Feldman either.
There is a wolf
psycho
pack out there that doesn't want the truth to get out about the things Corey knows about Hollywood. By the way, I find it interesting that you're diffusing the Corey Feldman stuff. What are your friends are you protecting? Who are your friends are you protecting? Because I've never seen this side of you.
Oh my God, you are a sick
fuck. Ashley and Josh, you don't find it peculiar at the very least that she is not addressing Corey Feldman and the wolf pack that's after him?
There's something going on.
Why won't you talk about it, Maria? I mean,
yeah.
This is Conversations with Maria Menounos, and you're not having a conversation about this.
It's not Secrets with Maria Menounos. Duh.
Wow.
By the way,
my own staff turning on
me. All right.
Me.
You want an exclusive?
Yeah.
You guys are all about breaking news?
Okay.
Okay.
We are. Go ahead.
Well, I will tell you who I saw, and this is going to, Josh is going to blow you away.
Okay.
Okay, because you work for the person that you began working with him at AfterBuzz. You know who is involved with the Wolfpack?
Spit it out, honey. Ross Matthews.
Ross Matthews. Ross Matthews.
So now Ross Matthews is getting thrown into the mix and under the bus.
He is involved somehow. I haven't figured it out yet.
Okay.
But I know he is.
Let's break news.
He's involved.
Make sure you put that press release out, Josh.
I will. Absolutely.
Well, Josh, be careful.
All of a sudden, Ross somewhere in a cafe in Palm Springs, living life, about to go play bingo with the beautiful old people of Palm Springs and be like, what is this?
Yeah, sure. That's right. That's all part of it. It's all part of it.
Maybe I'm just protecting Ross Matthews.
Anyway, can we bring up Corey's account to get money? He needs $1 million for security. What? He does.
No.
Ashley, you know, right? He's got
Why
the Kickstarter.
Why is my podcast being hijacked for nonsense right now? Like, we just wasted so much time
Got off the rails.
talking about stupidity.
About Farrah
Don't
Abraham.
You want to talk about my haircut, honey, and what you think of it?
It's beautiful, honey.
Thank you.
I love it. It's a great change.
Thank you.
Yep. Well, you know, now you look your age.
Oh, what's that mean, Kevin?
What?
No, I said you look very sophisticated. You look very mature with the new haircut.
My whole 39 years of maturity.
I thought I would have had you for older than that, but yeah.
Honey, I'm going to stab you.
No, you do. You look amazing. I love it.
Thank you, Bill.
Do you know that today? You know the Indians cut their hair after battles? This is true.
Yeah,
because it was a change.
I've been waiting to do this for a long time. Mm-hmm. I've been waiting to do it for a long time, actually. It's like so cool to be able to not have to ask permission of evil people who are just trying to control every move you make because they want to just suck everything out of you.
Can I tell you something?
Mm-hmm.
If Martin Scorsese directed you and said, this is what I want, or this, you would look your best this way, this is where you have to qualify that.
Yeah, I'd be
Maria.
Like, shave my head, whatever you want.
Okay, you have to qualify
it. Yeah.
When you have people that don't have talent, don't have vision, don't have taste, don't have style, telling you that, and then it's because you know it's based on either their poor taste or their jealousy or things like that, or their just simple need for control, that's different. And you have to be able to read the situation because Alexander Payne, and think of Vin Diesel, all the great directors and filmmakers you know, right?
Mm-hmm.
And who's the one from 17 that we love is our friend. I'm having a brain freeze. So it's not just about the guys.
Oh, Kelly Freeman Craig.
Kelly Freeman Craig. Yeah. And if they said to you, hey, you know, Maria, let's try this new look.
Yeah.
Right. Or this be a better look for you. This would be better. Would you fight them?
No.
Okay. So that's, I just want to qualify it.
Yeah.
It's where it came from and why, where it's like, So yeah, it is nice. Isn't
it? It's like part of my rebirth. It just happened. So, you know. 10 months later.
Yeah, but I think, and you know what? I think the thing is, you cut it so it does look nice. It's where people lose their minds.
Yeah.
And want that change. And then, and like Alyssa, your best friend.
Yep.
Beautiful girl, blonde hair. Yeah. And just dying to do the boys regular.
Oh my God.
Dying, Ashley. Ashley, don't do the boy.
What's that?
It's the boys regular haircut.
She doesn't want to cut her hair that short, honey.
Pull it up, a picture. No, at some point in her life, she'll get rebellious.
She will never go that short.
I'm going to get boobs when I get rebellious.
That a girl.
Not a boy's haircut.
No, but here's the thing about the boobs. You're getting more feminine, and that's nice.
Honey.
But when you know, Marie, we've talked about this, when people want to do the haircut because it's a change of personality, and they go too extreme.
No, it's like
and
when
they
you're
hurt
sad
themselves.
And you want to, like... You just need...
There's the boys regular. There you go.
Oh, my God, the boys regular. Honey, Alyssa does not want to do that.
Yes.
Alyssa was inspired by my haircut and wanted to chop hers. And I go, no, you finally grew your hair out long and it looks so glamorous and gorgeous. Do not touch your hair. So,
yeah, because she's always had it the length
she's
you have
always
it
had
now.
It this
no,
length.
So she needs to go, there you go. There's Ashley with the boys regular. But Ash, how many friends do this and like, I'm just doing it. I'm rebelling. And I'm like, no.
It's cathartic.
Right. And then congratulations. Like after 2 days, you go... Oh my
what
God.
Did I do?
I look like a 7-year-old boy.
Yeah, no, 100%.
See, my mom cut my hair like that once when I was little.
Aww.
And I look like the neighbor boy down the street. Honey, I look like Johnny Scapelli.
No, and that's what we used to call you Nico.
You Nico?
Nico.
Oh, the Nico.
Little, little immigrant boy.
Yeah, I was Nico and I wanted to kill myself. And so that's why I'll never cut my hair. That's why even cutting this was so hard. I did it on Instagram Live. And when I heard snip, even though this was my choice and I wanted to do it, it's still so hard to see all that hair. It was like 6 inches of hair go away. And and it just reminds you of that trauma.
Right. Well, you know what? If you're gonna do it, right? If you're gonna do the boys regular,
boys regular.
No, then I've had friends say, I just want to do it. Like Courtney Stewart's a beautiful host at AfterBuzz. She's been with us forever.
She's gonna do a boys regular.
No, she wanted to cut it short. She's a beautiful afro. She's gorgeous. Mm-hmm. I'm like, go the other way and shave it. Go clean bald.
Okay.
Then at least you're making a statement. You can make that look cool and stunning.
Bald?
Yeah, of course. Why not? Sure, you could. You guys could.
Wait, I had a dream last night. Oh, gosh. Uh-oh. Hopefully this doesn't come true.
It's going to come true.
Yeah, don't say it.
I had
a dream
that I cut my hair, the one probably moment I actually slept last night. And my sides of my hair were shaved.
I like that look.
And it was super thin, so it didn't like look good shaved.
Oh.
But I was like, whoa, this is kind of cool. This is what my hair, like I was conscious enough to know I was sleeping and dreaming. And I was like, this is what I would look like shaved on the sides. Like that would be kind of cool. Like, but if my hair was thicker there, like for some reason it was like super thin on the sides.
Ash, what do you think?
Yeah, like that. Like that, like when the girls like shave
it
on the side.
Shave
a little.
I do know the shave on the side, sexy. Ash, what do you think Farrah Abraham would look like with the short hair?
Oh, my God, honey.
That's a good question. I feel like she needs the hair.
Yes.
It kind of goes with the boobs and the butt.
The accessory.
Yeah, it's the accessory.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, can we switch gears real quick? Because you are hosting the after show for Jersey Shore, and I'm not just trying to plug it.
That's right.
Did you like the rest? What did you see? The second episode now?
I loved it. It was amazing. And what happens, Maria, is my prediction is because they get stuck together, even though they're super famous, even though their lives have all changed, even though outside in clubs and stuff, it's different because they're so big, it's still because they're stuck with each other again and they're limiting their phones.
Okay.
And so basically
the shenanigans are back.
The masks are gonna fall off.
So they're going to go back to what they wore back a couple years
ago. Yeah.
There can't be that much growth that's gone on.
No. You know, Vinny, very interesting. His diet, Maria, he's paleo.
Yeah.
He's very spiritual. I'm sensing a little Buddhism. His big thing is he's still a mommy's boy. Like, the mother still does everything for him. So that's hard. But he's, and I'll tell you, Jenny is very motherly and sweet. She's evolved.
Okay.
Where she's, you know, she hugged the situation for a long time. Everyone else did the kind of quick gangster hug. She really embraced him.
Yeah, I remember. I saw that.
And in situation, Maria, not drinking or smoking for 2 years.
Well,
he's
we'll see
really,
how long that lasts.
No, but he's really matured.
Okay.
You know, you see the difference. But it's very, very enjoyable. And I know Nicole has said, Snooki, she's like, listen, if we can come up with a Housewives kind of shoot schedule where we shoot for 3 straight weeks and we have time off, I do it. But she's like, but I don't want to be away from my kids.
Yeah.
You know, 4 weeks
well,
in a house.
Well, why don't they put like a baby room in the Jersey Shore house? So the babies like get
no,
like.
You can't, because that's not Jersey Shore. That won't be fun.
Yeah.
No, I think this. I think
put them in like a padded
room.
There's
probably gonna be.
They can't hurt themselves. They can't do anything bad.
You know what I think? I think it's four. I think that show would work if it was just 4-day weekends.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like four 4-day weekends, you're gonna get everything you need.
Yeah.
You don't need them stuck for a month. You know.
So interesting.
You know, so you'll get what you need out of them anyway. It is. All right. It's great, and it's AfterBuzz TV, Jersey Shore. We go live Thursday
night. Kevin
wears
costumes. He gets Guidoed out.
That's right. And everyone, now my whole crew is coming in to outdo me to be more Jersey Shore
when
looking.
When I saw that Instagram, I died.
We are available on iTunes and YouTube, and please check us out, rate us, and comment.
You
thank
can
you,
find
Maria.
Kevin's picture on at Undergaro.
At Undergaro.
And he is my husband, and I love him very much.
And you know, we had a great Tomorrow Show interview with Sean Whalen, the actor from Gut Milk.
Oh, cool.
But he's been literally in every movie. The guy's been directed by Tom Hanks. He's been directed by Ben Stiller. He's been directed by Clint Eastwood.
Yeah.
And his stories, if you listen to the recent The Tomorrow Show podcast, unbelievable advice for actors wanting to break in the business. Is stuff I've never heard that I'm going to use in my classes now.
Boo, I love you very much. You are a nice person. Now, keep quiet. Guys? This is Conversations with Maria Menounos, the podcast edition where we bring you free, fresh news, inspiration, and fun, plus the best of our SiriusXM shows from the week. You can find us here every Friday on Apple Podcasts. And as I said, we do this for free. So if you could help us out by subscribing, rating, and reviewing our show. Also, like, tell a friend if you like it. We hope if you like this, you will join us on SiriusXM Stars Channel 109, weekdays at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. You can also find us on demand on the SiriusXM app.
And if you're a Beatles fan, You do have the Julian Lennon.
Yeah,
interview,
so
and that's
so
amazing.
In today's show, you're going to hear, of course, Grammy-nominated singer-songwriter. He's a documentarian, a philanthropist. He just wrote another book called Heal the Earth. So Julian Lennon will be on, and we chatted about his dad, John Lennon. We talked about Yoko a little bit, and you know, really had a cool revelation, I think, for him.
I didn't get to hear it. I can't wait.
Yeah.
I mean, I know, Maria, like I said, like that's, I know you grew up Greek and you only watched Greek movies growing up legit, but that's rock and roll royalty.
Yeah, absolutely. So then we also have Wim Hof, who I'm so excited to share with you guys. He is just like one of the most incredible human beings you'll ever hear from or meet. So he taught himself how to control his heart rate, breathing, and blood circulation. Now, all these functions are actually regulated by the autonomic nervous system. And science tells us that the autonomic nervous system cannot be influenced by your own will. That's why it's autonomic, right? And so Wim somehow manages to do just that by steering his hypothalamus, which is the area of the brain that regulates the body temperature. Whereas, you know, the body temperature of an untrained person drops dangerously after being exposed to extreme cold, Wim is able to maintain his core temperature constantly at 37 degrees Celsius. So even after sitting 1 hour and 52 minutes in ice, Wim's core temperature stayed the same. 1 hour and 52 minutes in ice, guys.
Holla, bitches.
Honey, oh my Lord. So scientists around the world were, of course, baffled by his performance. He's broken 21 Guinness World Records. I mean, he's insane. He's achieved, like, here's a list, right? Running a marathon in sandals above the Arctic Circle wearing only shorts. You impressed yet, Josh?
Yes.
Yeah, running a half marathon barefoot above the Arctic Circle wearing only shorts. Officially swam under ice for 66 meters. Unofficially swam under ice for 120 meters with one breath.
What?
Okay.
Stop it.
Free climbing, hanging on one finger at an altitude of 2,000 meters. Okay. He climbed the highest mountains on Earth only in shorts. He tests with a constant body temperature, full marathon in the Namib Desert without water. A full marathon in the Namib Desert without water. This guy, I think, is superhuman, but he says what he is capable of, everyone can learn. Yeah. No. You'll hear in the interview, they injected him with endotoxins that should have made him like so sick. And because he knows how to control his autonomic nervous system, which I hope I'm saying right, he can actually repel it and not let it affect him. So they were like, oh, well, you're superhuman. So he's like, I'll train a bunch of my guys. And he trained all these people and they did it and they were safe too. So what you're going to learn in this interview is how to really optimize your body with this breathing technique that he teaches you. And I was doing this before brain surgery because I wanted to be as optimized as I can. And I have to get back into it because when you think about it, we're all taking shallow breaths all day long.
All day.
The thing about like working out that's so good, not the only thing, is it's making you take full and complete breaths. But how often are you going,
right?
You're not doing that.
No.
And so he teaches you how to do it. It takes like 2 minutes to do the whole exercise and it's magical. Your whole body is oxygenated. It's incredible. So this is a must listen to interview. You will learn so much and you will be mind blown. As I see all of your jaws on the ground.
Yeah, that sounds incredible.
And that's why like elephants live so long, because now, they have big, deep breaths that they take.
Oh.
Rather than the short breaths. Right. That's why doggies don't live.
Yeah, and mice, they die really quickly because they take really short breaths and they're neurotic.
That's like little doggies too, though.
And like us. So on that note, guys, thank you for joining us. And we will be right back with Julian Lennon, followed by Wim Hof.
Peace.
I've always loved going one-on-one with people.
Welcome back to Conversations with Maria Menounos.
He's a Grammy-nominated singer, songwriter, photographer, documentarian, philanthropist, and author of his newest children's book, Heal the Earth, an inspiring lyrical story about how children can make the world a better place. Please welcome Julian Lennon.
Hello.
Nice to see you.
Hi, how are you?
I think last time I chatted with you was another book.
Was it? Which one was that? I forget these days.
This is your third one, right?
No, this is the second one.
Oh, the second one. Okay.
Yes. yes.
I'm psychically anticipating the third.
You are already. one a year, it seems, at the moment. It's a trilogy. So this one just delves a little deeper than the first. But there's one more to come after this in a year's time.
So, Heal the Earth, what inspired you to do this, and why is it important for you to teach kids about the environment?
The second question, I think that the answer is obvious. Mm-hmm. You know, they're growing up in a world that seems to be getting worse and worse on the environmental and humanitarian levels. And the idea was really, it initially came about from the fact that I was going to do a biography and had a friend who was a really great writer called Bart Davis. And he was researching my life, basically, and the work that I was doing and my foundation called the White Feather Foundation. And we help a lot of kids around the world. But he said, yeah, but what have you done from your heart, you know, for the kids? Directly. And I'm saying, well, I mean, isn't that enough? And he's going, no, you know, what about a kid's book? And I said, you know, not a bad idea. I really like that, because I feel that a lot of the work that I do, that will have sort of made things come full circle for me in many respects. You know, I've written songs about the environment. I've made documentaries about the environment. The list goes on. And so this seemed like a nice way to, sort of not necessarily guide, but at least start the conversation with the next generation. You know, it's aimed at 3 to 6 year olds. And the idea, as I remember growing up with, being read books with my grandmother and my mum before nap time and going to sleep. And it was always a bonding moment. It was mm-hmm. always a nice journey to go on. And I just, Bart and I just thought, well, wouldn't it be good to be able to bring that conversation of the environment, what the world that they're going to grow up in, and sort of, you know, show them that, you know, depending on the choices that you make, certain things happen one way and certain things happen another. So it's you know, showing them about plastic in the sea, showing them that the fact that there isn't clean water for many, many people. And I think this also helps, you know, remind the parents too that there's a lot going on outside their front door.
Mm-hmm. You know, you said something in there that made me start to get curious and wonder. Mm-hmm. You know, we're living in another time, and I wonder if parents actually still read to their kids. Mm. I'm sure you're like on a book tour and you're getting to chat with people. Like, do parents even have the time? They're so stuck on their phones and so busy. I wonder if, like, that's almost like, to me, like the sit down dinner, like families who have dinner at 6 p.m., like how that's so gone and passe. I wonder if that's the same thing with reading books.
Well, I don't think either are completely gone. I still think there are many out there that still hold on to that. For strength of family, yes. I totally see and understand that. You know, parents certainly give their kids iPads and computers just to keep them busy in today's world. And I think that's, you know, can be helpful in many respects. But I think they also need to get outside, you know, play like the old days. And I keep saying, and one of the things I keep saying is, okay, when the power goes out, what are you going to do?
At least I know for us as adults now, when the power goes out, it's the most fun time.
It is.
Because we're like, yes, nothing works. This is so cool. We get to just be people and look at each other, even if it's in the dark.
this is very true. We forget what that's like. And initially that feels a bit scary. But at the end of the day, you know, it really is remind you what it's all about. You know, friends, communication, family, and the love of all of that. So, I think that's quite funny that, you know, the fact is, if the power does go out, what are you going to do? And I just, you know, feel that, you know, having an old school book, because it reminds me also of when I used to have vinyls, you know, mm-hmm. vinyl albums. It was that touching, the feeling of the material, the smelling of the vinyl itself, the reading the lyrics right there. So this is along those lines. And again, for me, it's about bonding with the parents in that regard. And I still think there are families out there that do that.
Yeah. Tell us about the White Feather Foundation and how all that came to be. I thought this was a really interesting story. Well, I read it.
It's a long story. I will summarize. I was on the road.
Did you say I because you just say it so much?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, well, it also can be a long story, but as I said, I'll summarize. I was on the road touring in Australia over 20 years ago and was summoned down to the lobby by an Aboriginal tribe and camera crews, TV crews. And, you know, I thought it was a prank at first because on the road you tend to, you know, play around a lot. But it wasn't. So I go down to the lobby and find an Aboriginal tribe there called the Murning People. And the elder of the tribe was a woman. And she walked up to me in front of everybody and said, you have a voice. Can you help us? And gave me this white feather. It's a male swan's white feather. It's about a foot long. And to interject, my dad said at one point, if anything should happen to me in any way, shape or form, that to let you know that I'll be all right, or that we're all going to be all right, would be in the form of a white feather.
For anyone who's listening who hasn't established the connection, that's John Lennon.
Yeah. So when I received this white feather, I it was goosebumps for days.
Wow.
And it was really a question of, you know, stepping up to the plate and doing something about this, the situation, or just, you know, continuing to be a little rocker. So I spent 10 years making a documentary about these people and about the plight of their lives and thrown off their land, and it was a well received documentary called Whale Dreamers, as whales were their totem, and I wanted, if the film was successful, I wanted whatever money we made to go back to the Murning tribe to help sustain their culture and keep their culture alive and protect them. And the only way you could do it way back when was through a foundation. Mm-hmm. And so the director and I, threw names at the wall, and the White Feather Foundation stuck. So ever since then, it's been growing slowly but surely. And I dedicate, you know, a lot of what I earn in life, whether it's through music, photography or otherwise, or the children's book, you know, money out of my pocket certainly goes to the White Feather Foundation to keep our projects and campaigns alive.
So proceeds from this book, Heal the Earth, will go to that.
Yes, absolutely.
It's funny because obviously you have the white feather like plane that the kids are in, and it's all incorporated in the story.
Well, yeah. I mean the main character is a plane, an imaginary plane, of course, with wings of feathers. Mm-hmm. And they fly around the world seeing what the world is like in all of its glory, good and bad. And, you know, it's a slow development, and with each book it goes deeper and deeper into the subject matter.
Do you think your dad anticipated something, or was that just one of those casual conversations, like, if anything happens to me?
I couldn't tell you. I was young at the time, and I thought it was a rather bizarre statement. So, you know, it was a curious one. What can I say? But it's strange how that's come about and affected me in such a way, and quite unique. I mean, without having had that happen with the white feather, I probably wouldn't be where I am today or who I am today, in part due to that experience of starting the White Feather Foundation.
It's so interesting, too, because, you know, in life, like, we get messages and the universe talks to us, and it's whether we are open and we listen.
Yes.
And it's interesting that, how old were you when he told you this?
Ooh, I believe I was around 11.
11. How old were you when he passed?
17.
17. So yeah. It's interesting that you remember that so strongly, right? Because it's a casual kind of odd conversation.
It certainly is, yeah.
And
yeah.
then, you know, he gets taken from you and then you remember that.
Yeah.
And it's almost like, you know, a lot has been made about like him not leaving you anything and Yoko being in charge. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like he was saying, you're going to forge your own path through this and help so many people and change the world in your way, just like I changed the world in my way.
Yeah, I think that's very true. I honestly do. It has made a huge difference by following the path of the white feather, so to speak.
Yeah.
It really has. So, yes, well noted.
Thanks. I just put that all together just
now.
Yeah,
very
it's
good.
It's just like he planted the seed.
I should take
you
on the road with me for this promo tour.
You know, Bono actually had something that he said about this book that I thought was really cool.
Yes.
He said, I've always admired Julian Lennon's singing because for all he has seen of the world, his melodies contain such childlike wonder. Mm. His words, too. Buy this book and his words turn into action.
Yeah.
Or actions.
Yes.
So.
Smart.
Yeah. That's very pretty smart. Amazing, right?
Yes. Very clever.
That
He's
must
a
have
clever
felt nice.
Boy, that one.
Yeah. He's got away with words himself.
He certainly has. Certainly has. He's become a good friend over the years. So for him to say that is, you know, it's very heartfelt. And, you know, I take that on board. And, well, it's good to have good mates around you that support you with comments like that.
Absolutely. So where do you think that childlike wonder comes from?
I'm a bit stubborn. So it... I guess where music comes in, I've never learned to read or write music. So I always play by ear. I go with my gut with everything I do. And so so there is wonder in that and where the sounds and the ideas come from out of the ether or whatever you want to call it. Same with photography. I'm self-taught in life all the way down the line. Mm-hmm. And I think there comes a certain wonder with that. So I guess maybe that's what he's Bono's referring to. I don't know.
Well, next time you sit with Bono, you have to ask him.
I will certainly do that. Yeah, what do you mean by that?
Yeah, yes. Maria wanted to know, and I didn't have an answer for her. So next time I see him at like Soho House Malibu, which I have seen him there before.
Oh.
Yeah, you know? It was a pretty awesome table. Cindy Crawford and everybody.
That's a crew, yeah.
It was a good crew, yeah. I didn't interfere, but I was just, you know, good people watching. Yes. But next time I'm going to go out to him and be like, hey, I got a question for you, buddy. So now you're doing a whole tour with this book, but I also hear there's going to be perhaps an animated series that you guys are working on?
Yeah, we met up with a company called Gaumont, who one of the first film companies in the world. They've got some great stuff going on, and we decided to partner with them in putting together, you know, trying to put together an animated show built on the book series. So we're working on that. It'll take a good year for that idea to come to fruition. Mm-hmm. And then we'll see if anybody picks it up. That's the game plan.
Yeah. What, you know... I imagine you have like a mantra you live by or like a quote or a saying. Like what gets you through life?
I don't really. I just try to do the best that I can do in everything that I do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's,
but when you have to dig deep and hard times hit, like for me, I've got my Rocky quote. I've got my life is happening for me, not to me quote. Like those things help propel me. Do you have anything like that
no,
you can share?
I don't actually. I don't. I just, all I do is think of my mum and want to make her proud, continue to make her proud, watching over me. So that for me is what drives me.
Not dad?
Dad, a little bit, but mum mostly. Mostly mum. Listen, dad left me, mum and I, when I was 3 years old. So what are you going to say? You know, I saw him a handful of times.
Yeah, I
liked his work, but, you know, he wasn't the best dad. But mum was the rock, you know.
Yeah.
She was there from the beginning till the end. So my love is always with her.
Aww. That's really sweet.
And that's a fact.
So you're doing a book tour. Where can people come meet you and see you in person and signings and all that good stuff? And,
well, we're doing a sort of sit-down question discussion about the book and signing and a few photos tomorrow at Barnes & Noble.
Oh, wait. I was maybe going to do that. I'm going to be in Chicago.
Someone reached out to me to come host and moderate.
I'm like, I would have loved to, but I'm out of town.
That's right. That's right. You were on the list.
I was on the list. Well, thank you. I was honored.
Sorry you couldn't make it. Well, you have a great signing.
Barnes & Noble tomorrow, guys. And of course, if you want to find him on Twitter, it's at Julian Lennon. On Facebook, at Julian Lennon Official. Yeah. And of course, the book is called Heal the Earth. Thank you so much for joining us.
It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you.
Hope you enjoyed that interview with Julian. And now I present to you the Iceman, Wim Hof.
I've always loved going one-on-one with people.
Welcome back. This is the best of Conversations with Maria Menounos.
Please welcome the Iceman, a.k.a. Wim Hof, everyone.
Right on.
So thrilled to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
I've been fascinated with you since I've started going to Tony Robbins seminars 3 years ago. Maybe it was a little more than 3 years ago now. And I've just been saying since I started this radio show, I'm like, I need to talk to him because I love talking to people who defy the odds. And I love talking to people who understand, and obviously you understand more than any of us, that the mind is so much more powerful than we use it for. It has so much more to give, and we don't access it all.
And, exactly.
And it's fascinating to me. And I know there's so many things I want to talk about, but I guess for those who don't know you, let's explain to them who you are and where your journey started with all of this. Because you're not just somebody who's, you're not doing tricks. It's not like, hey, look at me, I can sit in ice for an hour. It's so much deeper than that.
Yes, actually it's 21 records? No, 26.
It's 26, did I say 21?
It's growing all the time.
It's 21
you know?
On the website. That's why, you got to update that, Wim.
Yeah.
This is one time I'm not going to be mad we didn't have the research because you move so fast,
we probably
can't keep up with you.
I'm really moving fast. Why? I've been in nature so long and so many more challenges I took on. There is more than meets the eye, and that was my beginning. Was on a soul search.
But you were only 17. How are you soul searching at 17? Because I've watched a lot of interviews with you and I've done my research. And when you said you were soul searching at 17, I'm like, most people are drinking and getting wasted and, you know.
Exactly. So I wasn't.
Clearly.
I wasn't. And I took it on. A lot of esoteric disciplines and traditions, cultures, religions, languages, things like that. Practices like yoga, kung fu, karate, Buddhism, Sufism, all kinds of things. But nothing was able to connect me with the depth of myself like the cult was. I've just felt this attraction, went in, and since then I'm hooked, which is 41 years ago, 17 I was. Mm-hmm. And I found out by intuition, instinct, this is it. And it's not in the books. Whatever it is, it makes me feel wonderful, great, powerful from within. So wherever you feel that, you go back, no matter what. So I took on a regular practice every winter. In the Dutch, winters are quite cold and it's freezing, and the water is conducting in a lot of cold if you go in. So you got to do something. There I learned to become aware that with deeper breathing, you're able to withstand a cold impact. That's power on your body, aggressive energy, like cold, ice cold, makes you. I learned to control that. And with that, I learned to control deeper physiology. And then I became aware that I was able to sit all night long in freezing temperatures in shorts outside. What do you think then at that moment you feel? It's tremendous in from the inside being able to withstand the impact which is going on your nervous system, on your vascular system, on your mind. And you are able to counteract with your mind suddenly something we did not learn in books, mm-hmm. in the school. We learned to run in a systemized civilization called we can shoot people to the moon, yet we don't. We know little of our own deep physiology.
Mm-hmm.
And now it seems like 4 years ago, I did studies with the university showing people within a couple of days being able to tap into this deeper physiology. Because I know the way it works now from nature, going through laboratory settings and make people within 4 days able to tap into the autonomic nervous system, something what was in medical history known as at will, we cannot tap into that.
Yeah.
Now, all the persons, 12 of them, they 100% score were into the autonomic nervous system, the innate immune system, and the endocrine system, with the hormonal system.
You're talking
system.
About the experiment that they did on you, right?
Yes.
So let me explain to people really quickly. So basically, and I'm going to see if I found... Okay, so you taught yourself how to control your heart rate, your breathing, and your blood circulation. These functions are all regulated by the autonomic nervous system. And autonomic must, I mean, I don't know what it means officially, but it must mean it works on its own
yes.
automatically, right? So you can't interfere with it. So science tells us that the autonomic nervous system can't be influenced by your own will, but yet Wim manages to do this by steering the hypothalamus, which is the area of the brain that controls body temperature. So you have figured out how to control something that no one has ever thought was controllable. And then also there was a study that they did for you. I think it was the University of Holland.
Yes.
Okay. So they injected him with an endotoxin to prove that he can auto-regulate his immune system. Is the autonomic system part of the immune system?
Yes. The innate immune system is part of the autonomic nervous system together with the endocrine, the hormonal system. Yes.
Okay. So they injected him with an endotoxin, which you imagine is a toxin. And he also taught 12 people his method. So there was a control group of 12 people, and then there was Wim's group of 12 people. And the control group had 12 people. They all got sick. And Wim and his 12 people did not get sick. Correct?
Exactly.
Okay. So how, first of all, you are... unique, obviously, and you figured something out that not a lot of people have figured out. How did you convince 12 people to allow themselves? I understand why you would be able to take on that risk. How did you convince 12 other people to pop this toxin into their body and use your method?
I made them able, without prior experience in the cold, to go on day 4 by sense, by feeling. This power, making them able to go in shorts on a mountain, and they're on the top of the mountain, 5 hours we were exposed to the cold. On the top of the mountain
how
was
cold?
-27 degrees. And it went up from -10 to -17, -20.
Is that Celsius or Fahrenheit?
Celsius.
So very cold.
It's very cold. It's very cold. It's where people normally not are not able to survive.
And
they
no
lose
one got
control.
Frostbite? Nothing?
Nothing. And then on top of it, on top of the top, the summit, we danced the Harlem Shake.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, we did. We did. I got this on the on YouTube and everything. It's really
it.
Funny. But the thing is, we celebrated the power, just lustful of the power of life itself. And then I knew when I saw them and we danced together afterwards, these people are going to fend off the bacteria injected. The endotoxin is a bacteria, E. coli bacteria, which normally causes fever, uncontrolled shivering, all over agony, headaches, and all that. No, not nice. And but I knew then, I felt instinctively they are going to do the same I showed in university settings after administering the endotoxin. They will be able to do it. They got connection with their deeper physiology the way nature meant it to be. So I'm the ice man, but I became a wise man. And how? By taking the knowledge which is in nature. We have a lot of problems with all kinds of diseases because we have no control over our deeper physiology anymore. That's why we got these hospitals and pharmaceuticals and all that, and a whole lot of problems on depression, cancer, on autoimmune diseases, etc. Something needs to be done. And I told them on the way to the mountain, I told them, listen, guys, about mindset, we are going to show the world how to win that war of most casualties in history, the war on the bacteria, the virus and the bacill. And 4 days later, they were there. I knew it. And 4 days later in the hospital, they showed 100% control within a quarter of an hour over this bacteria injected.
When they injected the bacteria, was their main focus as it was injected and for that time to breathe the way you taught them?
Yes, breathing plus focus.
Okay. And now, what's the focus on?
I'm going to just focus is doing your best. Just doing your best. Now, 2 months ago, I was here in America, in the U.S., to do another, to show you what the power of the mind means. It's not just focus and do something with your mind and be motivated. No. These are neurochemicals. And these neurochemicals, I will show you, being in a brain scan, I showed just recently, being in having a vest on with tubes for ice water to go in. So my skin temperature is really exposed to ice water temperatures. And I, just by thinking, using steering and directing neurochemicals, making my body impervious to the ice water injected or poured in, thus the temperature, skin temperature remained the same. First, the first two scans, I did nothing, and it went plump, like 25 degrees. And then I said, oh, now I'm going to do something. And then 4 times, 7.5 minutes, exposure of ice water on the skin and showing no degrees of temperatures.
So anymore. The initial, you let it plummet so that you could show that your body isn't some...
Yes.
It's not the body that's regulating this. It's your mind.
Exactly. Now, the new study is going to be the mind, not the body. This is the study I'm into. And it showed in the brain what was happening. In the brain, where normally we have no control over the hormonal system. I was mentioning that before, the autonomic nervous system. Part of that, what is outside of our world working, is the hormonal system. The endocrine system, they call it, is a fancy name for the same thing. Another thing is the innate immune system. So those are detecting cells within us. They have to fend off the cells, bacteria, bacill, and vaccine. What do I say? Virus.
Mm-hmm.
They have a specific
the
answer.
The bad stuff.
The bad stuff. And we had no control because it's about the T cells and the B cells. Normally, it takes 5 to 7 days when you got a flu for them to work. We make them work within a quarter of an hour through this. So,
and it's just breathing?
Breathing and believing.
Yes.
But believing now is no longer just something abstract. It is neurochemical being able within the brain while ice water is poured, for example. Ice water is like danger for the functionality of the body. Could be heat as well, could be stress, could be a dangerous situation. We have this control within the power of the mind to be within the mind while the mind and the body are working together like a witness. We program it to be so. So then it's working. I was just looking while the cold was coming on to me. I was looking to the cold. It was not cold at all. I programmed it before. I wanted it to do, to make the difference. I did not even know what to do there. But then, I do what I always do when I do these records. At the day when I'm going to execute it, I'm peaceful. I'm done. I did all my best, so let it go now.
Yeah.
I'm not going to interfere. And this mechanism showed that there were, that I was producing the fancy names, insula and prefrontal cortex together with the brainstem. I'm into the periaqueductal gray hemisphere, which normally is autonomic. You cannot influence. Now I'm fully in it, and I'm producing endorphins, opioids, cannabinoids, serotonins, etc., while ice water is coming in. So good feel hormones while ice water is coming in. And in the insula, which is the detector of sympathetic or parasympathetic nervous system activity, which is action, full action, because ice is coming in. No, I got the parasympathetic nervous system. Peace, control, witnessing what's happening. Well, full adrenaline is going on to have the functionality of the body maintained. And then they told me, the professors over there, this is going to change mental health care. And where did I find this knowledge, wisdom, I call it? It's not mine. It's from nature.
Mm-hmm.
I just pass it on. And now I'm here with you guys. And I think it's very important, because I use any window to get to people. Listen, we got all the tools, the way nature meant it to be, to become happy, strong, and healthy. Because happiness is, those are hormones. We can steer them. We can direct them, even in the most difficult of situations. We can become strong because we control stress hormone, adrenaline, epinephrine, noradrenaline. We can control cortisol. We can control it, which is a big thing in our society,
mm-hmm.
which is exerting so much neurologically of our brain. And execute a lot of cortisol going on without
cortisol is just stress.
Yeah, cortisol is stress, and these are neurochemicals, and we had no control. Now we have control. We showed people lying in bed, being a little bit high of breathing exercises, and then specifically going into it, producing more adrenaline than somebody going into its first bungee jump.
Wow.
You see what I mean? That's controlled stress hormone. That's a way we could take the stress upon us, like witnessing. And easy. Are you going to jump? Yes or no? It's okay. Just want to fly. You see? And then health, that's the control over the immune system. We had no control over the innate immune system, which is part of the autonomic nervous system again. And now it shows that within a quarter of an hour, we are able to fend off the bacteria's reaction on the immune system, which is then normally creating fever and headaches and agony, inflammation.
Mm-hmm.
So what it shows that within a quarter of an hour, the inflammatory markers, boom, go down.
Wow.
And that's what we have found.
Inflammation is the root of all disease.
There you got it. I don't know, what is your first name again?
Maria.
Maria, what a name. So that's where we are.
Yeah.
We bring love to the world. For every mother should be able to guarantee love to his son and daughter, a child. And how? By showing that we are non-speculatively able to activate that what causes health, which is the control over the immune system, strength, which is controlled stress hormone in the body, and happiness, which is endorphins and all those hormones, good feel hormones. We should bring that into schooling, bring that confidence
Absolutely.
And belief to every mother in the world.
You know, it reminds me of my favorite movie in the world is The Wizard of Oz. And the favorite moment of that movie is when the good witch looks at her and says, you had the power all along to click your heels and you could go home.
Yes.
Like, you've had the power all along. Wow. And we have the power all along. However, what we've learned in Western culture is that we give that power over to doctors, to pills, and to all of these things. Come fix my problem, rather than looking within.
Yes.
and rather than looking for another way.
You see, and this is, it's not me saying this anymore. We have found a way to get into the autonomic nervous system and to tackle pain, the pain mechanisms. It's also chemistry. And we are now able to, after the new completed study, showing people who doing these techniques are able to receive charges of electricity on their bodies through sensors, like to the utmost. Mm-hmm. And there are so many people unnecessarily suffering from chronic pains. And if they just click their heels, then mm-hmm. it could be solved. I say yes. I say yes to a whole lot more, but we have to go past that what created disbelief, that what created a way of looking outside, go back, have confidence and belief back inside again. Now, backed up with science, validated. So there is no speculation about it. And how, that's what I want more studies. I'm into neuroscience, I'm into mm-hmm. inflammation, immunity, and all these studies, but I want 100 studies to show that nature has the answer. It's not us.
Well, and our minds. Like, I look at my dad, he's been type 1 diabetic for over 40, maybe 45 years now, and his mantra in his whole life was, I'm not sick, I don't have anything, and he has no side effects from a disease that ravages people's limbs and takes them. They get all kinds of blindness, amputations, nerve damage. He doesn't have anything because he doesn't believe he's sick.
You hit him right on.
He's my Iceman.
Yeah.
But he's been my role model for all of this.
He must be a nice man, too.
He is. He's a wonderful man.
Nice man, wise man, intuitively taking the right road.
Yeah.
So he suffered from a modern disease, like autoimmune diseases, defect somewhere, what, and we don't know how to go in. He uses the power of it. He should do this breathing.
I want him to. My dad would love this. You know, the other thing I'm thinking of as I'm hearing you talk is cryotherapy. So when cryotherapy, there was a German couple that came to Los Angeles, and they introduced cryotherapy here. And I was dancing and had shattered my feet. And I went and tried it, and it was miraculous because it took all the inflammation down in the body. Yeah. So I could keep dancing on broken feet. Rather than having to take painkillers and all of these things, I would go cryotherapy, freeze my body, negative 250 degrees, and it would take the inflammation down, and I would do it every day so that I could keep staying in the competition. Whoa. So the cold isn't just a gimmick. And it wasn't even just a way to teach you how to control your autonomic nervous system. The cold is medicinal.
Yes, it is. Absolutely. It activates, trains, stimulates the vascular system, and which is killer number one in the U.S., cardiovascular system diseases related. And that's because it has millions of little primitive muscles and reflexes in the capillaries. It's like 80,000 miles of blood vessels we all, every person has. But because we wear clothes, there's no stimulation going on. Thus, they don't work as good.
And I didn't know that.
Yes. I always say like a cold shower a day keeps the doctor away. You know, just keep it simple.
Mine's as hot as possible. Shit.
Yeah. And you know what? If you do that, then within a week you see a big difference in taking the same cold shower. Why? Because you uptoned the tonus of the of these primitive muscles and reflexes all over these 80,000 miles. Another thing is, when they are going to help because the condition is better of these muscles, it's like training a muscle, then suddenly you are able to weigh more, or the blood flow is just simply going better. Mm-hmm. It's being helped. Heart rate is going drastically down. So a lot less stress already for the body.
Just with a cold shower.
Just a cold shower. And the immune cells, 7 billion cells we have, and a lot of immune cells, they are better fed with oxygen, nutrients, vitamins, or minerals. Cold shower day takes the doctor away.
Wow.
And trains the mind. When you go and say, now I'm going to take a cold shower, Then you train your mind, and what happens? The brain-body connection with this 80,000 miles is going to uptone the vascular system, and then the body core temperature, which needs to remain at a certain good temperature, blood temperature, 37 degrees in Celsius. I don't know.
98.6.
Exactly. And it remains over there because it closes, and you did it with your mind. And once you learn to do that consciously, you are going to begin to become aware that you are able to control much more systems.
The other thing I'm thinking about is with your breathing technique, it's like, I think that the only times we breathe in life are when we're doing an activity. If we're running, if we're at the gym, if we're playing football, if we're dancing, otherwise we don't really breathe as a general public. We don't breathe unless we're doing yoga, unless we're doing something that's making us breathe. And I think that's why the stress is all over the place, because we're not breathing. And that's probably why this is so medicinal.
Yes.
Right? Like when you breathe, if you take a deep breath, I was learning this weekend, your lungs push down and massage your organs. And it's like a healing thing.
Yes, it all is there. Because of our lifestyle, we are non-stimulative toward our own body and mind. Thus, it becomes weaker and the condition is less. And that's stress. That causes stress. Mm-hmm. And most of the people live most of the day in stress. Most in a condition where they should not be in.
And that's why we get sick.
And that's why we get sick. And sickness is a signal. It should not be suppressed, the signal. And that's what we do with medicines and pills. We should not. No, we should change our lifestyle.
Yes.
And become more aware of this brain-body connection. And then being able to maintain health, happiness, and strength. Physiology. And physiology means our brains. That's a hump of meat. But the mind, which is unseen, is able to go within and activate, awaken the healing power, as in plasticity in the body, as in neuroplasticity in the brain. And I see it so many times. And you have to go back, actually, to a mother who was dealing with a little kid, a baby who was sick. She begins to care. So her attention is there.
Mm-hmm.
That's our focus. That's our belief, and that's our being, and that's our love. And most of the times, we are able to heal the baby with that power. But because we got so complicated in our behavior and everything going on, we have to distinct the mind more to show that that it is not mingling with everything. No, go back and learn to activate and become conscious of it. And like Archaeus of Paracelsus, the doctor is really within.
Mm.
And these are simply tools within us which we have and need to ignite at the moment when we become sick. When we become sick, we get signaled, and it says, it cries out, like, get back, come to me, I need you. That's what it says. Any animal in the wild goes and retrieves itself. What we do, we keep on thinking, and we have to do this and that. And thus, neurologically, we are not connecting with what is going on. And we lose. If we don't use it, we lose mm-hmm. it. So I'm here to tell, through studies, that we are able to heal ourselves, to activate the neuroplasticity in the brain in order for us not needing to open up the brain to repair the damage or anywhere else in the body. And so I say, yes, if you learn to do it on your own, which I did, then you will automatically have the ability to bring this power of the mind over to others.
If you had hypothetical situation, if you had cancer right now, if you had a brain tumor, how would you handle it?
Yeah. I would become, with the knowledge of today, you can almost visualize what cancer is. and it needs an acidic environment. It's because we do not breathe well, deep enough, shallow, and we exert all with all the energy, the metabolism in the cell becoming cancerous because there is no oxygen anymore, there is no energy anymore, and then it becomes anaerobic.
Yes.
It becomes anaerobic. And once it becomes anaerobic, it becomes independent. And it's actually a natural mechanism. So the way I treat it, I go to the back to the core and become completely, say, in this, I connect with what is acidic. And I've shown that we are able to go past firewalls in our lymphatic system, which is everywhere, but we could not get into it. And that what becomes acidic there, which is the cause of it all, we are able now, and we showed it in a last study, to invigorate it with oxygen and to make the mitochondrial oxygen tension go up. Thus, acidity is gone. And if you make the acidity go away, then you break the chain for the cancer cell to be fed. It's logical. And then we got our intention. And with the intention, we are able to program a gene. The genes. And with the genes in the immune cells, we are able to go within the marrow, which we have shown within a quarter of an hour, the specific immune system, going directly to the bacteria, not creating fever all over. No, just very specifically go to the cell and cause apoptosis, which is cell death. And that's what the cancer needs, a very precise answer of the specific immune system. And we are able, with our mind, once it is exercised, to connect with the deeper layers of this specific immune system, the T cells and the B cells, and thus...
get them to work.
Kill them. Give them the information and program them to do so. But now, this is all hypothetically... But I saw a lot of miracles already. But it's only really true when we get through science. Now, who is interested to take it on with me in the scientific world? Who is listening right now? Because I'm sure this works. I saw it many times. But we in the West, we need science to back it up.
So that it can go to the masses.
It doesn't make money. It doesn't make money. It brings health. And what do we want? That's my question back to the listeners. Do we really want health, et cetera? So I'm challenging.
Why don't you do a GoFundMe page to get people, because the entire world would get behind this, because pharmaceutical companies never will. And anybody who's really greedy won't, because they want to create their thing, you know, to make money off of. But if you did a GoFundMe page, we could advertise it here. Everybody would get behind it to create the money to do the study.
Help me, because 4 years ago, I thought I showed the world something which was never shown in medical history. We changed the books in the U.S. in biology and for the new physicians, full chapter about the endocrine system, the autonomic nervous system, and the innate immune system. And now it's becoming mainstream knowledge. You got to be learn it, you know. But I want to go on, show more, that we are able to do so much more than we think or being taught. Is use the power of the mind, to learn to become happy, strong, and healthy, completely in balance, and learn about spirituality. Like every moment is should be spiritual. Like it's great to be alive.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the most beautiful place of the whole universe. I know astronauts. They told me, yeah. Then finally, I got shut up. I'm a professor. I'm a doctor. I'm this. I'm that. And then I'm an astronaut. I'm up in space. I look around. It's lifeless. It's cold. It's nothing. I look down. Wow. And that's the Earth. And that's where we live. But are we aware of that fact? Are we being taught that this is the most beautiful place? That we should be one with the essential of life, like a little kid, not arithmetic only. No, happiness, strength, and health should be the new subjects and the new schools for every child to learn. And every child is able to adopt this. It's not difficult. But and then never lose track of the core to be able to have an answer when things like cancer, depression, autoimmune diseases, and mood disorders are happening. You got me?
Mm-hmm.
That's why. So I challenge anybody, please help me show it scientifically. Because we can believe, but the mainstream is in disbelief that it is impossible. We are being taught it's impossible. We are being taught it's normal to have hospitals, pharmacies, and all that. I say it's sick. And we are maintaining it because it has maybe a lot to do with one mammalian thing. I want power and money and make this. And that's why everybody is blind about it and being manipulated or something. But I'm here. Listen, it's not mine. It's nature. And nature has the answer of so much. But we need to validate it through science. And I'm here to already shown things in medical history we're not able for a human to do. And now I'm showing it in the neuroscience, in the brain. But it's not me. It's nature calling upon us. We messed up with the nature. And now nature is showing us once again, live in harmony with the nature, be stimulated by the nature. And you become happy. Like the Garden of Eden, it's right over here. Yes.
Yeah.
So there we are.
The other way is all we know. So you're saying that, because I want to get back, because I know a lot of people who are listening, because my mom is dealing with a brain tumor, and a lot of people who are listening have called in with their stories of cancer. And one woman who listens to the show just got melanoma yesterday. Are you saying that with these breathing practices, all of these things will be activated in the body that will go help stimulate the mitochondria, that will stimulate the healing?
Absolutely. This is absolutely one of the biggest pillars of this is the breathing.
Can
it's
you teach
oxygen.
Us how to do it?
Yeah, sure. Well, it's for free on my website.
Okay.
You get all the basics and you get all the scientific endorsement behind it. Also read about Steve Curtis's book, how he healed from stage 4 cancer. He came in 2007 to me, and we did it here, very near on Malibu, a workshop I did together with her, and he came to me personally, and he had stage 4 cancer, skin cancer, very aggressive and all. He had only a couple of months to live. So he was told by the doctors, that's it, 4 months, 5 months, that's it. He was a very successful, good-looking man, all American. He's got it all, but he's got cancer. You got nothing.
Yeah.
And where is that control? What do you do then? No. Then he took it up. I told him, listen, there is more than meets the eye, and I've shown it, and there is a lot more. So what they tell is from the books. It's not from, they didn't experience this. It's piled up. It's a power system going on, and don't confuse yourself. Cancer needs an acidic environment. Simple. And what we do is bring in more oxygen in the tissue, in the lymphatic system. Thus, you change the chemistry. And there is more. Food should be alkaline as well. So very. And you believe the neurology should be there completely. That you are able to tap into the deepest of the physiology. Make the change as a plumber does with constipation at home. Don't make it too far away. Don't make it too difficult. It is a non-sentimental phenomena from nature. If you are not present, something will take over.
Yeah.
If you go back, then you are able to remove it. We got the tools. Nature is telling us if we don't listen, then it looks aggressive, and we got a lot of sentimentality around it, but actually we got the tools to take it away. And I want more science behind it. But Steve Curtis, he wrote a book about it, and he is still living. and he's completely sane. And
how long has he been?
Like 10 years ago now.
Wow.
Instead of 4 months to live. And then he went back to the doctors. They don't listen. They don't listen. They are in the system, in the power infrastructure, whatever mm-hmm. it is. They don't want a waver from their beliefs. And I tell you, it's time for new beliefs.
Well, because they say, unless it's scientifically proven, we can't get behind it.
Yes.
Right? So anytime I bring up to my mom's oncologist these other techniques, these other things, I mean, even just changing her diet, they were like, don't bother. We see you families always starving these patients of sugar. It doesn't make any sense. And they're like, you know, there are no studies. This is their quote all the time. There are no studies to prove that. So they need studies to prove any of this before they'll believe it.
Now, once again, I want to challenge anybody in this community who is listening right now to help me, because it's not about money. This is about nature coming to sense. And I want to go through science to sense again. Make it simple. We got the tools. We got the tools to make skin temperature not going down by just by using the mind. It's not a trick. I can learn, teach these things, anybody. And then you are not only talking about aggressive, say, ice cold. Could be heat. It could be stress. It could be back cells, bacteria, viruses, cancer, anything. That's my belief. But I showed a whole lot already. But still, I want to validate it through science.
Mm-hmm.
Help us do these scientific.
How do they help you?
Research.
Because I know everyone already wants to. How do they help you? What do they do?
I'm doing right now with, for example, with the Michigan, Wayne State University Neuroscience Department. With them, I do this study, and they are applying for a grant.
If we go to your website, can we get information?
No, this is so direct. Only yesterday I received a mail with all the data and everything is going on. But just go to my mail.
I will put something up on our website as well to help direct you guys. Guys, you can find him on Twitter and Instagram at @Iceman_Hoff. To learn more about his method, visit WIM Hoff method.com. We're going to put that up on our website as well.
And follow us at Maria Menounos, at SiriusXM Stars, at Miss Ashley Daniels, at Josh_Rodriguez_, at Undergaro. And remember, be nice people, make good choices, and be present.